This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Texting while driving is a growing danger on our roads, even though Wisconsin has had distracted driving laws in effect since December 2010. The issue is getting renewed attention of late. Governor Scott Walker proclaimed the month of September as Don't Text and Drive Awareness Month. And a new national campaign has gone viral in recent weeks. You may have seen the commercials or the documentary they're based on, From One Second to the Next, directed by acclaimed documentarian Werner Herzog.
The lady who hit X was texting. Her head was in her lap. She never even saw X in front of her. She actually came straight through the stop sign. There were no brake marks, no skid marks at all.
That's Milwaukee mother Valetta Bradford speaking in the documentary. Her son, 8-year-old Xavier Davis Bilbo, a.k.a. X, was struck by a driver who was texting 3 years ago next month. X sounds like a normal third grader.
Hi, I go to Gensling and I like to play games. I like to do art. I like to go outside to the park and I like to go out places.
But his life is anything but normal now. Mom Bradford sat down with Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce in their home and told her family's story, starting with the day X was injured.
It was a normal day. It was 70 degrees in Milwaukee on an October day. There wasn't a kid in the neighborhood inside the house, and how could I do that to mine as well? So I allowed them to go to the park across the street, and Ari, my daughter at that time was 13, she said, well, we're going to go pick my friend up who lives on the other side of the playground, and then we're going to go out and play. I'm like, okay, fine. Of course, they've done it 1,000 times before across the street. She's 13, he's 5, almost taller than her at that time, and they cross the street on our side of the playground, no problem. They cross the street on the other side of the playground, going to her friend's house. And on the other side of the playground, a woman blew the stop sign, four-way stop sign in a school zone, blew up that sign, and her head was in her lap texting. So she hit X on the wrong side of the street and drug him back to the side of the street where he started from, about 40, 50 feet away. There's no brake marks, nothing that she even stopped at all.
What happened to Xavier?
When she hit X, she paralyzed him. She dissipated a part of his spinal cord. So she missed his brainstem, they say, by maybe a quarter of an inch, if not even that much. He is paralyzed from the diaphragm down. As you see, he's trach vented, so he is on life support. They did everything they could to try to make those nerves work, but the lung just doesn't do it on its own. Still has the use of his hands, but his hands have some dysplasia, so they're kind of closed, but not closed all the way. So he eats with his hands, his arms still move. He's pretty active mentally, cognitively. We still have all of X here. He goes to school with the nurses, and X is pretty smart. He's above a lot of third graders in his class. He's actually in a class that's actually third and fourth graders, which is kind of it's a college preparatory class already in the third and fourth grade. So, you know, boy, has time changed since we were in elementary school. So, cognitively, he is above and surpassing. And he got hit not even a month all the way into K-5. So it took us that first year to play catch up again. The 2 years from after that have been going a lot better. And we just continue to try to keep the use of the hands, to keep the motor skills strong. You know, there's a lot of finger exercises that we do several times a day. I make him stop doing whatever he's doing and flex his fingers, press his hands against the other hands, everything to keep him, to keep that, what we have, to keep what we have.
Does Xavier remember the accident? Does he understand what happened to him?
He does now. He still has nightmares at times, you know. When he woke up from his coma and he was kind of really, when by the time that he got really coherent, he was very questioning, you know, why did she hit me? You know, I crossed the street the way you taught me to. I had my scooter on my shoulder. I was holding Ari's hand. Why did she hit me? And as a matter of fact, his scooter pretty much saved his life. His scooter, even though she did as much damage as she did, the scooter caught a huge amount of the blow.
He easily could have been killed.
Yes, easily. And the docs say also that his size and his height also saved him, because the grill from the truck, were whatever hit first, if he would have been the size of an average five-year-old, X is pretty tall, as you can see, if he was the height of an average five-year-old, he probably would have been decapitated.
Do you know what the driver was texting when she hit X and Ari?
I'm told that the text is, I'm on my way. You know, I'm asked the question often. You know, I'm asked, do you know what they were texting? Do you know what was said? And I don't know why that becomes important to people, but it's burnt in our memory, you know, from the time that we were told that that's what she was doing. We actually found out at the accident scene that that's what she was doing. We had no idea. We thought maybe she just didn't see him, you know, and a family member, boyfriend, significant other, or something of that such came to the accident site and was screaming and yelling, I know that's what you were doing, and you're doing it all the time. I'm always telling you, and now, look, you've probably killed these people's baby. And, you know, it was a horrific scene. It was, you know, we're on the ground with X, family members, paramedics. You know, my cousin who was at the accident scene lives a couple of doors down. She's got Ari, and she's screaming, and my father and my brother showed up, and of course, they're losing it. So now the police are there, and the paramedics and the fire department, and me just trying to close out everybody except for X is down on my knees, on my belly, talking to him. Mama's right here, and at that time he had been unconscious twice, you know, and them trying to be extremely careful in getting him together to move him to get him to Children's Hospital. Immediately, they pulled us into an imaging room, a consultation room, and sat us down. And I've got a medical background, and I'm looking at the films, and when they showed me the MRI, the first thing that I said, and I didn't mean to blurt it out like I did, but the thing that I said out loud was, oh my gosh, you might as well have killed him.
What happened to the driver?
My understanding is that there were two citations issued, one of them being because the vehicle was not registered to that person's name, and the other being something about a moving violation, but the tickets came out to like $170, $179, something like that. And there was no texting law in Wisconsin at that time yet.
So that's it? It was a $100-some-odd fine?
That's it.
What do you make of that? What does that say to you?
It infuriates me a little bit more, and it makes me struggle harder to do what it is that I do. It keeps me more on my toes about the educating part. It makes me understand that, you know, somewhere in Congress, somebody has to be listening. Somebody has to be paying attention that my five-year-old's life is worth $179. And that whether that person knows it or not, that person is part of our daily lives.
Have you heard from the driver since the accident?
The night of, and not again since. And at this point, I'm going to say we don't want to, because I don't see taking him through that. I mean, that person's had 3 years in October.
When Wisconsin finally did get a texting and driving law, what did that mean to you?
I was happy, but I needed to know that those laws were going to be enforced. I've pulled up next to cops and saw them texting, so, you know, I need to know that the law is going to be enforced.
How did your family come to be part of this It Can Wait campaign, including this recent documentary by Werner Herzog?
Well, I initially, 2 years ago, I said, you know, something has got to change about all of this. Something has got to stop. We initially did a vigil kind of thing the first year after X got hurt at the scene of the accident. The second year, we did the X-Man event, which we do right here on 10th Street for awareness and education. And we'll be doing the same rally again this year as well. And then I started by guest speaking at my daughter's driver's ed class. And then I started speaking at other high schools because the other driver's ed teachers were inviting me. And it just went from there. And then AT&T heard about me. And initially, they had called me to ask me for information to the driver because they were going a different way. And I said, I have no clue. And the young lady from AT&T, he said, who was doing the recruiting for the film, I guess, said, well, can I talk to you? And she had watched the DOT documentary that we did a few months after X was home. And she said, you know, can I just talk to you? And I said, sure. I talked to her. And she said, I'm going to talk to Werner. I think we need to change our minds on which way we're going with this. Then Werner talked to me, and then he said, she's right. And then it just kind of, it happened really fast, like in a week. It went boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, whoa, this was like, okay, I'm making a movie with a real director. And I love film. So it was like, whoa for me, you know, like Werner Herzog, whoa. So just glad to meet him. And he was compassionate, and he understood where we came from, and he understood what we were going through, and he understood my efforts and what I'm trying to do.
This sounds like it's been a long journey for you since the accident, advocating for texting and driving laws. What did you draw upon to be able to get out there and get this message out to the community?
Well, you're talking to me. You can tell that it's anger. Anger has driven me from one part of this to from one step to the next step to the next step. I mean, I'm not some lady driving down the street screaming irate, hey, stop texting on your phone, you meathead. You know, I'm driving down the street and I'm thinking to myself every time I see someone texting and still driving after all of the work that we're doing, after all of our efforts, how can they still be doing this, you know? And that just encourages me to keep going and keep up the fight and keep up the struggle.
Were you surprised when the documentary went viral?
Shocked. Shocked. And I'll say it to you like that. I mean, it's well over 2.3 million hits on YouTube right now. And I thought to myself, when I saw 100,000, I was like, whoa! I'm like, 2.2 million? Right!
Why do you think this documentary struck a chord with so many people?
I don't know if it's guilt on some folks' behalf, because, oh my God, that's me all day. You know, texting while their like head is in their lap, and, you know, and they're getting in that last text or whatever. Or this happened to a family member or a friend or someone of that nature.
Do you think this could be the start of a turning point in the national conversation about texting and driving?
Well, I have to tell you that this morning I went on my way to breakfast. I saw 6 people texting, at least 7 or 8 people dialing and then talking on their phones. That was only a 10-minute ride. So I don't know about things changing. I don't know about things changing for, but we get a lot of positive feedback. And I'm hoping that those people who give us feedback are saying, okay, listen, I guess I'm not going to do this no more. And then they'll tell 2 friends and so on and so on and so on. And I'm hoping that that's what happens with us here. I'm hoping that 2 people say, okay, I'm not going to text and drive no more. Then get in the passenger seat with a friend, and the friend whips out the phone and is like, I'm not going to ride with you if that's what you're going to do. And I need it to happen that way, because I feel like then that wave will get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then maybe we'll have a tsunami of people who are not texting and driving anymore.
What do you think needs to happen in terms of legislation and also in terms of the consequences of texting and driving?
First of all, I'd like to have everybody in the house watch the film. Every freshman class of the house should have to be required to see it. And then maybe those states that don't have the law will get the law, because then they'll see that this is just, it's absurd. It's ridiculous that you know, the same exact way that they changed the laws with the no drinking and driving. I think that they should all just get together, spend that extra $20 on the drawing board, and get it done. I'd love to have a good half an hour with the house. You know, I mean, I think that maybe I could change at least 40 minds.
What do you hope for X going forward?
That he becomes and remains a productive kid and gets to enjoy the rest of childhood. That we have him for a long time. That the injuries don't take over his body.
Well, Valetta Bradford, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Milwaukee mother Valetta Bradford and her 8-year-old son Xavier are featured in the new documentary From One Second to the Next, directed by Werner Herzog. It's part of the It Can Wait campaign against texting and driving, which has over 2 million hits on YouTube. They spoke with Stephanie Lecce from their Milwaukee home.